Week number two, we are in a new series called Phase to Phase, and it's about a six-week series. And every week, we are taking a phase of spiritual growth and talking about what it looks like for us as disciples of Jesus to take our next steps in our faith journey. And, it's kind of likened to the spiritual or the physical development of children. Every single one of us were born at some point, all right? And every single one of us have developed in our physical life, in our mental development, you're right? And so here we are, many of us are adults, okay? And so we are functioning adults in regards to relationships and jobs and whatnot, and we are productive citizens in a society. And all of that it's very important that we develop to get to that place where we could be a functioning member of society. In the same way, in our spiritual walk with God, we are born, all right, and then we develop, and we develop to where we can continue to invest into the body of Christ, all right, the kingdom of God, the family of God. And what we're going to learn this week, but also in the next few weeks, is that sometimes that development, it kind of gets a little stunted, right? And so people sort of stop developing. And so we're kind of discussing that, because here's the deal. How many of you would like to see the kingdom of God expand in our world? Yeah? It's a very important aspect of being a Christian, this desire to see, Crystal just talked about it, the good news, the gospel preached, taught, and people to put their faith in Jesus and grow in their relationship with God. The reality is that for that to happen, every single one of us who are believers are a part of that process, not only in our own individual life, but in the process of other people's lives. Okay, so the responsibility to help raise up new believers, to be disciple makers themselves, right? That responsibility is on all of us. And so what we're going to do, again, is to kind of learn what this looks like, so where we as people, we can individually look at ourselves and say, hey, where am I at in the phase of growth that I'm in? But also, how can I help others grow in their faith and in their walk with God? Does that sound good? All right. So again, the goal of the series is to help you follow Jesus and also to help others do the same. And this process is called discipleship, that we as people are disciples of Jesus, but we are also helping to disciple others. Matthew 28, Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Okay, this is called the Great Commission. All right, Jesus, one of the last things he says before he ascends is this right here. He says, the things that you have learned, go and tell others. Go teach them, go baptize them in the name of Jesus. And that's what we're called to do still today. So a disciple of Jesus is disciplined, someone who is disciplined as a follower, a student, and an apprentice of Jesus. So if your faith is in Jesus, if you call yourself a believer, all right, you are a student of Jesus. You're a student of what it means to follow Jesus. You're an apprentice, okay? That's what you are. And again, there are six different phases in our discipleship journey and different milestones in each phase. And two quick things that I want to say before we get into today's message is that the phases of development. Last week, we talked about being spiritually dead. This week, we're going to be talking about being a spiritual infant. And then we'll talk about being a spiritual child and then a young adult and then a parent, okay? All of these phases, this isn't about an actual time period. So, you know, it's not like, okay, I've been saved for 10 years, and so therefore I'm 10 years old in my faith, and now I'm a child. No. This is about developmental phases. So the reality is that some people have been saved for 10 years, but they're still a spiritual infant. Okay, they're very spiritually immature. Other people, they might have been saved for 2 years, but they have been maturing in their faith, and so they might be more of a young adult. My point is that it's not based on how long you've been saved or following Jesus. Okay, so put that mindset aside. This is about developmental markers. But also, we have to be careful to not focus on behavioral modification in order to attain these steps, but to think about spiritual transformation as disciples and disciple makers, okay? So here's what happens a lot of times whenever someone who's been following Jesus for a long time really wants to help someone follow Jesus is they fall into trying to lead them through legalistic approaches, meaning do the things I do, like, and if you don't do them, you're bad. And it starts becoming this very condescending type of thing. You ever heard somebody say that people use the Bible as a hammer on people, right? Like, that's kind of what I'm describing right now, is people who are like, well, you know what? You've been saved for 5 years and you don't do this. That doesn't really do anything. All right, and that's also not the right heart. Now, we should challenge one another, and there should be a general challenge, I think, but there's a difference between challenging someone and condescending someone, condemning someone. And so a lot of that has to do with the heart. I just want to put that out there to make sure that we're not thinking, whenever we talk about spiritual infant, spiritual child, all this kind of stuff, that we're talking about a certain amount of time, and that we're also not talking about this in a way that's to be used or thought of in a condescending way that we then begin to point fingers at one another or somebody or even to ourselves, where there's shame and there's condemnation. That is not the heart of everything that we're talking about. Okay, so everybody good? Good with that? Okay. All right. So today we're going to be talking about spiritual infancy. Being a spiritual infant. And this is a person who has recently been saved, all right? They're kind of new to the faith. And this is both a very exciting time and also an extremely important time. It's just like whenever a child is born, physically. Whenever a child is born, the first few minutes, first few days, it's so important. I remember our first kid, when she was born, that was a traumatizing experience, you know? First dad, like, I'll just be honest with you guys, I was the dad that was about to pass out the whole time. Any other dads in the room that when you're, yeah, come on, one of two, okay, some of y'all are three, okay, thanks, man, thank you, more of you, yes, more and more, yes, all right, like, you know, they're, you know, she's going through some issues here and contractions and stuff, and all of a sudden, I turn green. And I can't breathe right. And I'm like hyperventilating. I'm like in the bathroom, like putting water on myself. And at one point, the nurses are looking at me and asking me if I'm okay. She's here like, ah! And I'm like, they're like, are you okay? I'm like, I don't know. I feel a little bit lightheaded right now. You know, I need some food or a nap. I don't know. This is a really stressful day for me. That's essentially what happened. And but I say it proudly for everybody else who won't. Anyway. I digress. All right. It's an exciting time, but whenever Ariana was born, all of a sudden, man, they're flipping her around and they're poking her and she's crying. And I'm like, you know, cut the umbilical cord and it squirted all over me. It did. It did. Anybody else? Umbilical cord? Dads out there? Cut it? No? No. Okay, one. That was traumatizing. I wasn't ready for that. I threw away the shirt that I was wearing because it was stained. I could keep going, but I'm going to stop now. All right. It's a beautiful time. What a beautiful thing. Birth. Anyway, so it is beautiful, but there's a lot going on. But it's a very important time. Immediate action is taken, and so it's exciting, but it's important. And it's the same in our lives. Whenever we're saved, it's an exciting time, but there's so many things that are going on. Our life is changing. And also with children, there are physical and mental developmental milestones in infants. And so again, I want you to think, first of all, when they're first born, there's obvious signs of a healthy newborn baby. They're breathing, eating, seeing, hearing. Are they alive? You know, are they functioning? I mean, that's an important thing. Are they, you know, they're doing all the tests, all right? So there's those initial tests. But then as we look at maybe an infant, you know, I think an infant is through 1 year old. I think that's how they consider that. I am not a child developmental specialist, but right, you're an infant, so you're about 1 year old. Come on, you guys act like you know. Come on, man. But there are developmental milestones in the infancy stage of a child. What are those? Do they respond to sounds or voices, okay? Do they follow things with their eyes? Come on, at first, you know, they're trying to like see, their eyes are all like, woo. But then eventually, look, they've got to be able to focus as their eyesight comes in. Can they focus on things? Can they hold their head steadily? Can they grab toys by the hands? Are they rolling over? Are they sitting up? Are they eating? Do they crave milk, right? Are they eating properly? All of these things are very important in that first year of development for a child. And there are a lot of similarities with us as believers whenever we first begin to follow Jesus. And so what do those look like? Well, last week, Jesus said those who believe in him are born again. And again, they are essentially spiritual infants. And so how do you know if you or someone else is a spiritual infant? Again, these are not condescending terms. These are about development. Is it condescending to call your newborn baby an infant? Of course not. It's part of the journey of growing up. This is not condescending. But how do we know if someone else or if myself, if we are a spiritual infant? Well, number one, that there has been a confession of faith. That's an important aspect of being born again. That someone says, I'm a child of God. I was dead, now I'm alive. We spoke about that last week. In John chapter 1, it says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, talking about Jesus' name, he gave the right to become children of God. A small correction to what a lot of people say is that we're all children of God. We are not all in the family of God just by being a human being. Those who have believed in the name of Jesus are of the family of God, okay? And so that's what he's saying here. If you believe in his name, he's given you the right to be called a child of God. And there's a revelation of that as you go from spiritual death to spiritual life. So that's the first thing. Another very important thing is that there is a hunger for the things of God. There's a natural hunger for the things of God. 1 Peter 2 says this. As believers, put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. The NLT says evil behavior. Put aside all evil behavior. Verse 2, like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Verse 3, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Okay, so like newborn infants long for or thirst for or eagerly desire the pure spiritual milk, some versions say of the word, okay? This idea here is first off that newborn infants, they naturally desire milk, okay? That's a natural progression. And so like newborn infants, we should naturally desire the pure spiritual milk of the word. But this word spiritual, it's related to the word logos, but it's logikos. And it's talking about divine wisdom or reason. And so the way that I kind of think about it is that as a new believer, there are milestones, there are markers of change. So if you were living in the world, you were a part of the world, your desires were fulfilled in the world. Now, as you have become a new creation, your natural desires are different. And so where you desired darkness, now you desire light. Where you had this natural craving for sin and things like that, now those things don't satisfy. That's not really the longing of your heart, because you are desiring a pure, divine, spiritual way of living, a pure way of living. Now, that does not mean that we do not fight sinful cravings. I'm not talking about perfection here, all right? But there is a different motivation inside of you. Does that make sense? Okay? And for some people, whenever they profess faith, sometimes there's not a change of desire. And again, I'm not talking about boom, all of a sudden everything's perfect. I'm talking about a change of direction in life where you feel differently. You have different desires. Now you desire to know God. You don't desire to please yourself. Okay, there is a change of direction. It's repentance. It's the changing of the way that you think. And it's a natural part of becoming a believer. That you desire to know God, that you crave the Spirit of God. And so verse 3 is sort of a caveat, or he says, you know, well, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Sometimes people make professions of faith that are not true or proper. Sometimes it's done through maybe pressure. And you know what I'm saying? Like maybe some of you, whenever you were younger, depending on what kind of maybe church or environment or culture you were in, like you felt like if you didn't, you know, you were letting mama down or whatever. And so you got sort of pressured into saying something or going through some sort of ritual that was not heartfelt and it was not really intentional. And so as you've gotten older, it's sort of like, I don't even know what that really was. And a lot of people, come on, they as they grow up, they sort of veer away because it's like, I don't know what that was. Well, it might have been coercion, right? Not transformation. And that doesn't mean that God's not dealing with someone. God can't work. God can work through a lot of different things. But I'm just saying, as far as the way that we approach things, sometimes confessions of faith, you know, hey, I can't judge that. But you can judge it for yourself. And you can also say, man, do I have a hunger for the things of God? It's another way of saying, hey, do I have a hunger? Am I a spiritual infant or not? How do we grow in, what is this, the spiritual milk? Well, there's the word, all right? How do we learn about the divine wisdom of God? Well, it's through the word of God, the logos, the written word of God that's given to us. Okay, the rhema word of God that's written to us so that we can read and learn about God through prayer. All right, as you pray, come on, sometimes people are praying to try to change God's mind, and prayer changes us. All right, so there's through prayer, through fellowship. Guys, look, through relationship, all throughout this series, you're going to hear it later on in this message, all throughout this series, you're going to hear how important it is, the relationships around you. And in your spiritual development, who is your circle? Okay, so there's a hunger for the things of God. The third thing, there is the conviction of sin. In Corinthians, Paul talks about godly grief and how godly grief leads to repentance versus worldly grief only leads to remorse. And there is a difference, okay? But is there a conviction of sin? So there's a desire for holiness. There's a natural desire that begins to develop in a newborn, you know, a newborn again Christian. Well, there's also a conviction of sin. How many of you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you, before you were saved, certain things didn't bother you, and then all of a sudden you get saved, you begin to follow Jesus, and now all of a sudden it bothers you. There's something deep in you that is pointing you away from those things. This is also something in the life of Christians that have been following God for a long time, is how is your conviction level? What are there ever times that you do or say something and there's an unction of the Spirit of God inside of you that points you away from that thing? Or is it free reign all the time? I embrace the conviction of God in my life. Do I always like the conviction? Of course not. But I've learned to love the conviction of God in my life because I know where the Holy Spirit is leading me, and he's leading me to life. And that's what godly repentance does. It leads to life where worldly remorse, okay, it just kind of leads to, man, I got caught. I got to do better next time. Got to work on my lying skills, you know? Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's worldly grief. That's not godly grief that leads to repentance. It's worldly remorse. So there's a conviction of sin in the life of a spiritual infant beginning to develop. And the next thing is there's a compulsion to tell others. There's a natural compulsion to want to tell other people what's going on in your life. Recently, I've had a lot of neck issues over the years. Just I've got military neck, and so all the complications that come with that. And man, I was doing all this kind of stuff, trying to get some relief, and certain things would work for a while, and blah blah blah. But recently, I found a new type of treatment that I started going to get some treatment for. After the first week of that treatment, I got relief for the first time in years. So after that, guess what? Every time I ran into somebody, some of y'all are in this room, y'all know. I'm like, hey, you know, they're like, my back's been hurting, my neck's been hurting. I'm like, hey, have you heard about this guy and what he does? And did it, you know what I'm talking about? I'm like, I'm preaching the gospel of this new treatment. I'm like, you got to get some relief. Why? Because I found something that's helping me, and I want you to know about it. It's as simple as that. And so whenever you are saved, born again, whenever God is transforming your life, guess what? You want to tell others around you. You know, if you've struggled with depression and all of a sudden you're finding life and joy in the presence of God, guess what you want to do? You want to help others and you want to point them to that. It's as simple as that. As you are a newborn believer, you have a desire to tell others. Now, these things that I've just said are very basic, and you also know this, that these basic things also translate into all of the other phases of life. When you, as an infant, have a desire to eat, do you ever lose the desire to eat? Nope. We're in America, man. You know what I'm saying? The bigger the portion, the better, right? And I mean, you never quit wanting food because it's the fuel in the tank. It's the nutrients that keep you going. And so, in the same way as spiritual infants, if there's a loss of appetite, there's a loss of appetite in even adults, there's a problem, right? If there's a loss of appetite in a spiritual child or young adult or adult, if there's a loss of appetite, that's a sign of something being wrong. So for some of you, you're like, oh yeah, okay, if you've been following God for a long time, how's your conviction? How's your appetite? How's your hunger? Is there a feel that you've graduated on to something more complex or something else that these things don't matter anymore? That's a problem. And so all of these phases stack on one another. And if there's a problem in one of these base foundational areas of your walk with God, you've got to seriously take a look at that. All right? If you're a Christian for any amount of time, you are going to have to look at these things and seriously seek God about them. I know I have. And so even though these things may be in the spiritual infancy phase, these are not small, little, simple things. These are crucial developmental things in our life that we must maintain. So for a lot of us, maybe we've been following God for a long time, but now we're looking at these things and we're like, man, actually, I don't experience conviction. I'm just kind of living however. You know, I don't really have a hunger for the things of God. I just kind of show up on Sundays and that's good, check the box and then move on. But there's really no hunger for God during the week. We have to start looking at these things from this angle. So what are the developmental milestones of a person in the spiritual infant phase? Okay, so in the beginning phase, there's these important things, but as we're aging, what are some of the things that come down the pipe, right? Well, the first thing is that they are learning to hear and obey the voice of God. John 10, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." Hearing and obeying the voice of God is extremely important. It's the thing that sort of plays into the conviction of sin as well, is being able to learning how to hear and obey the voice of God. And it's really, when it comes to obedience, it's the process of sanctification in our life. Many people have never developed the ability to hear God, to seek God and to hear his voice. Think about a 6-month-old, an 8-month-old, a 10-month-old. Guess what they're beginning to do? Whenever they go to reach for something and you say no, How important is that? Right? They're reaching for something that could hurt them. If they don't hear that voice, and then they don't obey that voice and learn to obey that voice, then they may get hurt, okay? In the same way, we've got to develop the skill and the ability to discern and to hear the voice of God in our life and then to actually obey that voice. Now, the reality is this, is that this comes through a lot of trial and error. I'm gonna be honest, a 10-month-old, they might hear and obey. They usually don't. They hear, but they don't obey. But guess what? Whenever there's a hot stove and you say, no, don't touch that, and they go, now they have learned. Now next time they will obey, all right? Let's just be honest. In our walk with God, sometimes we know the Holy Spirit has convicted us. Maybe we've heard the voice of God through the word, through a person, and we have not obeyed, and then it plays out in our life, and then we understand the beauty and the love of that conviction and of that God pointing us in the right direction. And the next time that comes down, you know, in life, we're more apt, if we're humble, to respond appropriately. That's the heart of God. Hey guys, listen, the laws and the commands and the instruction of God is not just to, I don't know, make you follow rules. It's because he loves you. In the Old Testament, the way that God would deal with the Israelites, the commands that he gave them was from a heart of love. Obey me. It'll be better for you. This is how I designed you. This is what pleases me, but this is also for your good. So infants are learning how to hear and obey the voice of God. The next thing is that they are learning foundational biblical truths. Okay, in this infancy phase, learning foundational biblical truths. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. It's so important that in this developmental phase that you are learning, that you are being taught, that you are being taught by other Christians, that you're being taught in environments like this, and you are also being admonished. Sometimes that might be a loving correction from a brother or sister in Christ. All right? It's part of the process, but you're learning foundational biblical truths. Many people begin to follow God, and they don't learn foundational biblical truths, and so their theology, their doctrine is all over the map. They don't really know what they believe, and so that's why whenever somebody else's voice comes in, they haven't learned the discerning, to discern spirits, they haven't learned any of that, and they don't know the voice of God, so therefore they follow anybody's voice. They don't know what the Bible actually says, so they begin to follow what anybody else says, and they're enticed away by those different doctrines. So for many of you, it's just math. We could just do the numbers. It's just the way that it is in the church. There's a large percentage of you that you don't really know what you believe. You don't. You don't really know why you believe it. You've never worked through it. That's why when somebody asks you a basic question about why you believe and why you're basing your eternity on this doctrine, and you're like, never thought about that before. Well, of course, I wouldn't expect my kids are, 6 years old and 12 years old. There's certain things that they've never thought of, and that's appropriate for their age, okay? Now, a six-year-old, there's certain things they better know how to do, right? But at 6 months old, I wouldn't expect my six-year-old, out of my six-month-old, what I expect out of my six-year-old, that doesn't make sense. But there must be growth. And so a lot of people, there's things that they really should have learned whenever they were a newborn, again, Christian, and they did not. And so now they've been serving God for many years, but they're still very thin. They're still very weak in their faith. And so it's appropriate, though, in an infancy phase to be learning these things. And so if you're a new Christian, if you've been serving God for a few days, few weeks, few months, I want to encourage you to prioritize learning foundational biblical truths. It's very important for your development. They're learning things like the gospel and grace and forgiveness and the Holy Spirit, how to hear and obey, again, the voice of God. Learning biblical answers to questions and concerns such as, does God answer my prayers? And why do I need to go to church? Okay? These are questions that people who are new in their faith, they need answers to, right? And the last section is this. What do spiritual infants need from followers of Jesus? So the first part that we were talking about was to help those of you who are maybe new in your faith understand the milestones in development. For those of you who have been following Jesus for a long time to kind of know maybe where you're at in some of these things, but also to help others. Now, what does it actually look like for a follower of Jesus who's been following Jesus to help someone who is a spiritual infant? Now, a lot of times messages like this don't really get a lot of feedback too because we're processing the whole time of like, where am I at? But also many of us are, number one, like, oh, I'm underdeveloped in that. That's kind of convicting or maybe exposing of where I'm at. But also now we're getting to what do spiritual infants need from me? We're going to hit this hard the next couple of weeks when we talk about young adults and parents, okay? Because there's a lot of responsibility out there. But if you are a Christian, you've been following Jesus, and you have someone in your life right now, maybe they're in your small group with you, and you know that they're new to their faith, there is a question that you must ask yourself is, what does that person need from me? I am in their life. God has put me in their life for a reason, for a purpose. And so what does that look like? This is where it starts getting tangible for some of you, where it's not just conceptual, it's practical. This is how you can help someone. Paul gives some instructions of how to care for new Christians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, he says, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we care for you. And he's talking about him and other people who were helping the Thessalonians serve God and learn how to follow Jesus, right? But he says, we care for you because we love you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Paul didn't just share the gospel. He gave up of who he was, his time, his energy, and he cared for them. And he likens it to a newborn, how a mother cares for a newborn. All right? What does a spiritual infant need from a follower of Jesus? Number one, they need care. They need care. Spiritual and practical support from people who have been there. Come on, think about an infant. They need a mama, right? They need support. They need care. They need someone to help them. It's the same thing with a newborn believer. They need care. Number two, they need spiritual nourishment. People who are in the infancy phase of their walk with God, the conversations that they're in are extremely important. They need conversations. They need sermons. They need worship. They need to study. They need revelation. That's what they need from you as a follower of Jesus. Y'all feel that? Okay? This is what a lot of you guys have pictured, maybe in your own life, is like, all I got to do is I just got to show up to church on Sunday. Or maybe you're a follower of Jesus and there's somebody in your life and you're like, I just got to get into church and then it just that's it. And it's like, well, that is an important part of it, but it's not the only part of it. Did you know that you are a part of their discipleship? What does it look like to help others follow Jesus? It looks like time. To care for an infant takes a lot of energy, am I right? Sleep deprivation. You smell weird because they've been vomiting all over you for weeks. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's a lot of work, man. You know? Guess what? If you're going to be a part of someone's spiritual development, follower of Jesus, you're going to smell weird sometimes. It might not be the best illustration to use, but I didn't process through that one well. But you guys get what I'm saying. It takes energy. It takes time. But that's what they need. That's what they need. They need care. They need spiritual nourishment. They need conversations. That's right. Sometimes you got to answer that phone call and it's going to be an hour-long conversation. I tell people this a lot. I'm like, hey, you know, you got my number. If you have any questions, text me. And you know, I don't give my number out to everybody. But, you know, text me And if you have a question, I'll try to help you find the answer to that question. They need answers. The last thing is they need an example from spiritual parents. They need meaningful relationships in their life. All throughout the phases, you're going to see this too. Again, meaningful relationships. So each of these phases, yes, there is crossover. There are things that you learn in the first phase that then you retain in the second. There are things that you need in the second phase that you need in the third. You know what I'm saying? Come on, this is going to be an overlapping series. But we've got to really absorb this mindset. We've got to absorb this responsibility and this understanding, both for our own health, but also to help others. So for those of you in this room, whether you've been saved for a long time or whether you've been saved for just a few weeks, for this week, if you're asking, what's my next step if I'm a spiritual infant? We're gonna put the bar really low, all right? But it's a very important thing. Keep putting yourself in environments where you can be discipled and you will grow. I want to encourage you this week. Now, there's more to come in this series, but for this week, if you are in this phase, if you have determined, man, I'm a spiritual infant today, or maybe you know somebody that's a spiritual infant, I want to encourage you, a very important thing is to keep putting yourself in environments where you can grow. The prioritization in your calendar to make room and space for relationships with people who are followers of Jesus, to make time in your schedule to continue to study the Word of God. It is a priority thing. And many people, they don't prioritize those environments, they don't prioritize those relationships, and they don't change those environments. And it is part of a reason why there's a lot of stunted growth. Continue to prioritize those things. I want to encourage each and every one of you, and this is not just for those of you who are new to your faith, I want to encourage each and every one of you to be in a small group. One thing I know is this, is that unless you schedule and prioritize being in a group of people to have meaningful relationships and meaningful conversations, most of the time in people's lives, it does not happen. Or it doesn't happen regularly. Some of you, honestly, you're like in one deep, meaningful conversation about God a year. Like that's it, because you've got a lot of friends around you. You've got a lot of activity around you, but you're not in groups of people that are helping you follow Jesus. And you will begin over time to be malnourished. Do you need your personal walk with God, but all throughout Scripture, there is also this communal dynamic, and you need both. It's also where you receive care. Some people come to the church, and they just kind of stay on the surface level. They're not in any sort of relationship, and there's really no support system. There's no care. So they begin to follow Jesus, but they don't take those next steps, in order to get integrated into the body of Christ. What happens if an infant is left to themselves? They're not gonna grow. They're not gonna be healthy. And it is very similar to our walks with God.